So, Father, bless Janine. We thank you, Lord, for her. Thank you, Lord, for the gift that she is to your body. And, Lord, just bless her. Bless her real, real good in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
It is wonderful to be here again. How many of you were here the Saturday night when I spoke? Okay, just a few people. Cool. My name is Janine. I moved here last year from Moravian Falls, interestingly, because of a dream. I was living in Moravian Falls. I was good friends with Larry and Laura Randolph, and I had no plans on moving. I was actually looking at land to buy in Moravian Falls, was getting ready to build a house, was very excited about that because I've been moving around for a while, and it just felt like it was time to sort of settle in, and God had other plans, and he communicated to me in a dream. So Larry and Laura, I was actually on a walk with Laura, and when she told me that they were moving here, all I could say was that it felt like Moravian Falls came out from under me, just in a moment. And that was weird, because I was like, I don't get it, Lord. I've been really excited about this land. I've been really excited about, you know, staying here. What are you up to? And he answered me in a dream. And in a dream, someone from Morning Star Prophetic Ministry was in the dream. Her name is Susie Urah. She's a good friend of mine. And there was another student in the dream. She was an intern with Morningstar. And she went up to Susie and she said, Susie, I have a prophetic word for Janine. Actually, I have a page of prophetic words for Janine. But what I have is pretty directional and I'm new to this. So can I have your permission or what do you think from this page I should share with her? And so Susie looks it over. And this is all happening right in front of me. I'm standing there. And Susie looks it over and she says, nope, not that. Nope, not that. No, not, no, nope, 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 no. These three things you can share from the entire page. So she tells me the three things, and I'm lucid dreaming at this point, and I'm frustrated because she's telling me these three things, and I can't hear them. I know they're going into my spirit, but I can't hear what she's saying. And I'm frustrated. So later on in the dream, I come across this young girl's journal. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the journal that has all the prophetic words about my life. I wonder if I could look at it. But I know enough to know if the Lord wasn't giving permission, I probably should only look at a few. So in the dream, I ask the Lord, Lord, I know this is a dream, but tell me, what can I look at on this page? And he says, you can look at the three things that she prophesied. And I said, okay. So I open it up, and sure enough, everything is hidden except for those three things. And what's interesting is, in the dream I saw all of them, but when I woke up, there was only one thing that I remembered. And here's what it said. It said, your relationship with Larry and Laura is vital to what God wants to do with you next in your life. And as I wake up from the dream, I'm thinking, think I might be moving to Franklin, Tennessee, because my relationship with them is vital, then obviously being around them would be important. And considering how much Larry travels and considering how much I travel, relationship with them isn't going to really happen outside of me living near them. And that dream was in May of last year, right before I went to England. So it was probably May 15th, right around there. I had moved here by the end of June. I actually came to visit in early June. And this is why I say this, because dreams that are like that are mostly the dreams that we listen to. The ones that are really directional, the ones where we can feel the Holy Spirit on them, the ones that are really vibrant, they're really vivid, that we know that something prophetically is happening in the dream. Those are mostly the dreams that people listen to. And I have wonderful dreams like that. And obviously, I take heed to those. That's why I moved to Franklin, Tennessee. But I'm going to present to you tonight, hopefully, another way of looking at dreams, and that's this. John Paul Jackson, who is my spiritual father in virtually everything that I'm going to teach you tonight, I've learned from him and also from another guy by the name of Doug Addison. How many of you are familiar with John Paul and Streams Ministries? Cool. Okay. So John Paul, when I first took his courses on dream interpretation, said this: a dream that goes uninterpreted is like a letter that has been unopened. A dream that has been uninterpreted is like a letter that has been unopened. And when I heard that, all I can tell you is that it just hit my spirit the way I felt it hit a lot of yours in this room right now. Because I had up to that point really only paid attention to the ones that I thought were from God. And here's what I've learned over the last about 7 years of teaching on this and studying this, is that every dream has a meaning. Every dream has an interpretation. The scriptures say that all interpretations belong to God. However, not every dream carries the same significance. And in the church, we use those two words interchangeably a lot of time. Actually, just in life, we use those two words interchangeably. We think that meaning is the same thing as significance, and it's not. So every dream has a meaning, meaning every dream has an interpretation. Not all dreams are going to carry the same significant weight in our lives in terms of decisions that we make. However, they all can, I believe, lead us into a deeper relationship with the Lord. And hopefully some of the illustrations that I give you tonight of dreams and the interpretations that I've given or have heard other people give will help highlight that. But I want to present to you this. Number one, of course we want to listen to God's dreams. God's dreams are vibrant, they're vivid, they're colorful, they're prophetic. In nature, a lot of times they're directional or we see them as revelatory. However, we also have those dreams that are called soul dreams, and we have dreams that are nightmares, right? And we know those come directly from the enemy. And here's what I want to encourage you with. In life, in general, when you hear something from the enemy, what's the best thing you can do with it? Say it a little bit louder. Rebuke it. Yes, that's one thing you do. What else do you do? Replace it with the truth. Exactly. That's really important because we can rebuke everything we want to rebuke, but if we don't ask God to replace it with the truth, then usually what happens is we find ourselves coming up against the same lie over and over and over again. And what we can do with our nightmares and what we can do with those dreams that show us the issues of our soul, if we can get a spiritual interpretation to those dreams, we actually can take those things that are meant to come against us and use it as a weapon of warfare and start prophesying God's truth over our lives and what He wants for our lives. It's pretty powerful. That's good. So nightmares and soulless dreams are going to show you areas in your life that need God's attention. And Satan's will is being revealed in your life, what do you know it's the opposite of? It's the opposite of God's will, right? So when you have a dream that is a nightmare, when you have a dream that's showing a soulish issue, if you get a spiritual interpretation and you can understand this is the area where the enemy is coming against me, and you actually take that and understand the truth of what God wants for your life, all of a sudden, you have actually engaged in spiritual warfare through your dreams. It's pretty cool. And I've seen it happen, not just with believers, but also unbelievers. And I want to start, actually, with how I've seen dream interpretation affect unbelievers, because it's been so powerful. And because I'm an evangelist and I can't get away without saying something about pointing outward. All right, so we're going to start in Acts 2. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. If you don't have that underlined in your book, in your Bible, if you would underline that, if you're someone who underlines, it says all people. And the reason why I want to say that is this. Many people in the church have taught that when it says on all flesh or on all people, that it means believers. I personally believe that this verse is actually applicable to the entire universe. That's right. That God is actually pouring out His Spirit the world over. And people are just responding right now to that cry, the cry of their heart is responding to the Holy Spirit in the only way that they know how. So I don't get nervous when I see an interest in New Age philosophy. I don't get nervous when I see Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I don't get nervous when I say medium. Not that I want anyone to be influenced by those, but here's what I realize in that. That Hollywood and other places are responding with things that they consider to be spiritual because that's what people are hungry for. And if we would just come, if we would take what we have and be able to offer it in the place that can meet that hunger, it is going to be amazing the power that we see return to the church. Okay, so it says this, all people, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams, even on my servants. I love that he says that. By the way, yeah, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. And so here's what this verse, I believe, just encapsulates for tonight's teaching. Number one, that in the last days, there is going to be a plethora of dreams and visions and prophecy. Now, whatever you believe about the last days, you know, we probably have a lot of different takes on that, but I would just present to you, if the disciples believed that they were in the last days, I think it's okay for us to believe that too. And we've also seen, I can just tell we're coming closer and closer because I see the reality of this everywhere I go, and not just with believers, but with unbelievers. So, When I first started taking John Paul's courses, it was 2002, I went to study dream interpretation because I'd gotten to the place in my life where even though I'd dreamt all my life and mostly understood my dreams, and believe it was a gift that God had given me that I operated in, even when I wasn't really following Him, I could understand my dreams. I'd gotten to the place where so many dreams were being given to me, and they were becoming more epic in length. So where at once I had simple dreams that I could really understand, all of a sudden they were pages and pages long. And I believe that God did that because He was trying to pull me into the place of responding to Him and actually searching Him out and learning from Him how to do dream interpretation. Because I had always done it naturally. But He was wanting to take me deeper. So He started giving me all these dreams. I couldn't understand them anymore. I decided to take Streams Ministries dream courses. And actually, the full three courses that they offer right now are The Art of Hearing God, Understanding Dreams and Visions, and the Advanced Workshop in Dream Interpretation. 62 hours of training. So when I decided to do it, I went hook, line, and sinker. August, I did The Art of Hearing God. October, I did the Understanding Dreams and Visions and the Advanced Workshop in New Hampshire back to back. So I did do 42 hours straight, and I was really tired at the end of it. But it was incredible what God did in those courses. And here's what I went, what the purpose for me sharing that tonight is this. I went and I invested all that time because I wanted to know what my dreams meant. But what I heard and what I learned that night changed my life forever, because what I realized is if we can understand dreams and if we would seek God through for our dreams and understand dream interpretation and really understand what I call the language of the Spirit, we have a powerful weapon for reaching outside of our community, for really busting outside what we call the four walls of the church and going out and taking this amazing gift. And I heard story after story after story of, you know, just things that were happening in evangelism encounters as people interpreted dreams. So I went, my first evangelism outreach was in doing something like this, was in January of 2003. I was at the Sundance Film Festival, where we've now taken teams every year since. And I remember the first night I went out, I was full of faith, and I was thinking to myself, I don't think I can prophesy. I don't think I know how to understand. I don't think I understand dreams. I don't know what I'm doing here. This is pretty crazy, you know? And the reason I say that is this, is because I was so scared that night, and I was so nervous about not having the interpretations. And here's what I want to impart to you tonight. The Holy Spirit is the one who has them all. Now, of course, I'm an advocate for training. I spend virtually my entire life, almost every weekend, training people. So I advocate training. But at the same time, when I'm teaching, I'm always teaching people this. Everything I'm going to give you, they're just tools. If you try to memorize anything about dream interpretation, you will miss the point. Because God is never, ever, ever going to negate your need for the Holy Spirit. Never. Never. And if you get to the point where you think you know it all in dream interpretation, that's when you're in trouble. That's when I'm in trouble. So I went out that night, and here's my favorite encounter. We had numerous encounters that night, but here's my favorite encounter. So I'm thinking to myself, number one, I don't know if this is evangelism. Number two, I don't think I'm that great at the prophetic. Number three, I don't think I can interpret dreams. Number four, I don't even know if I believe that God gives dreams to unbelievers. So I'm full of faith, right? Full of faith. Walk into a Starbucks, and here's what we did. We sat down, and we just asked for the Holy Spirit to show us who He'd given a dream to. And then we went up, and we said something like this. Hey, we're here. We just took all these classes on dream interpretation, and we're just wondering if you have a dream we could practice on. And that was code for, we don't really know what we're doing, so you can excuse us if you think it sucks. You know, that's basically what we were trying to say. So this guy comes over. His name is Will. He's a young guy, he's in his 20s, and he has these wonderful, wild, inventive dreams, amazing dreams. And we're prophesying over him, telling him about this gift that he has to just kind of invent, you know, new ideas when it comes to software technology and all these things. And as we're saying those things, it's great. And he's like, yep, that's true, that's true, that's true, that's true about me. But we're not really getting into any spiritual conversation, which is, of course, what we're hoping for as we're sitting there. So I'm asking the Lord, Lord, would you please remind him of a dream that you've given that would lead to that kind of conversation. And we're just about finished with the conversation. He starts getting up from the table, and I'm doing like emergency tongues in this, you know, silently. And all of a sudden he sits back down and he leans over and he said, you know what? I know I've taken so much of your time, which, by the way, those of us in the church could really learn from that kind of attitude. And and he says this. He says, I know I've taken so much of your time, but I have one more dream. And as soon as he said that, I knew this is the one. And so I said, no problem. You know, we'll take all the time. Don't even worry about it. And he goes, okay, so I had this dream about heaven the other night. And I'm like, yes, God, you know? And he said, so I had this dream about heaven. And in this dream, I go to heaven and I see the most beautiful mansion I've ever seen in my whole life. The most beautiful castle. There are no earthly words to describe it. I can't even try because I feel like I would be doing an injustice to even try to describe what I saw. And as he's telling me this, I'm like, oh, I know what that is, you know. And so, and then he says, and then I saw a dairy cow, and then I saw a disco ball. What does that mean? And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, God, we were doing really good. Can we go back to some of that, you know? Because I don't know what the dairy cow means, and I don't know what the disco ball means. But here's what I've discovered in doing this kind of outreach. And also, I think what God wants to teach us all the time, that he wants us to lean into him for faith, number one. Number two, he will use us all the time. We just have to let him out. And often you're going to open your mouth thinking you have just the first thing and that's all that you have, and then God fills it. So all I had was the first element. I knew what that one was for sure. Not a clue what the second two were, but I'm like completely confident, smiling on the outside. Inside I'm like praying in emergency tongues again, because now he's answered my prayer that I prayed in emergency tongues to actually give the dream. But now all of a sudden I need him to give me the interpretation in a bad way. So I start out and I say, Will, this is an incredible dream. And I believe this dream is about heaven. And I said, did you know that there are actually sacred scriptures that have been written about mansions that are in heaven? And he said, no. He said, I didn't know that. And I said, yeah. I said, I think you saw one of them. And I could tell from his answer, this kid had no exposure to God whatsoever. Like, no upbringing in it, just had never been around anything about God at all. And so I tell him about these mansions. I tell him they're beautiful beyond description. I tell him that I think he saw one of them. All the time, I'm still praying for God to give me the next two symbols, right? So then I get to the next symbol, and I hear the strangest word of knowledge I've ever heard from the Lord my entire life. And he says this, he loves cheese. The dairy cow. So I look at Will, and I said, Will, I said, do you love cheese? And his girlfriend is sitting next to him, and she whacks him on the chest, and she goes, oh, my gosh, it's like a food group to him. And I said, Will, I said, you know what? I said, I think this is God's very funny way of telling you that everything you love to eat is in heaven. I said, did you know that there are also other scriptures that are written about this amazing feast that's there for those who go? And he said, no. He said, I've never heard of that. And I said, well, I think it's his very funny way of telling you what you love to eat, it'll be there. And then I just knew the disco ball was a party. I knew it, you know? And I just said, how hilarious is that? I mean, God's sense of humor. And I said, Will, that's just God's way of telling you that it's going to be a party up there. Now, at this point now, his eyes have gotten full as I'm talking to him, and a tear is now coming out of his eyes. And I hear the Lord tell me this. He said, Janine, he's been asking whether or not I exist and whether or not heaven is real. Tell him yes to both questions. So I ask him that, because I don't want to assume I'm hearing the Lord correctly. So I said, Will, you've been asking whether or not God exists, haven't you? And he said, yeah, I have. And I said, you've been asking whether or not heaven is real. And he said, yeah, I have. And I said, well, I want you to know that I believe this dream is telling you yes to both questions. And I said, and I also want you to know that I believe that he sent us here so that we could tell you yes to both questions. Now he's really crying. And he leans over and he grabs both of my hands in his hands. And he says, you will never, ever know the impact that you made on me tonight. Thank you for coming to do what you do. And I said, just keep asking your questions. You're going to get all the answers that you need. And he left. Now, this is not the point of tonight in terms of dream interpretation, but I think it's important to finish this. I freaked out after that because I thought, I didn't say anything about Jesus. I only said God. What if he thinks it's some other God? And I'm freaking out about weighing all this weight and responsibility on me because I haven't finished the conversation the way a good Christian would finish the conversation, you know? And I'm talking to the Lord later that night, and I'm struggling with this. And I'm like, Lord, I'm so sorry that I didn't say anything about Jesus. Please, you know, please forgive me for that. And the Lord says, Janine, you don't need to ask for my forgiveness. You did what I asked you to do. And then he said this, Janine, who gave him the dream? You did. Why did I give him the dream? Because he's asking about you. And then he said this, and he said, so if I'm capable of giving him a dream to answer those questions, am I not capable of continuing to do that again? And then he said, and who was the one who sent you to Barnes & Noble at that moment in time in the Starbucks at the same time that he's sitting there to have that conversation in the first place? Oh, yeah, that was you, you know? And he said, so am I not capable of sending the next person into his life to add water to the seed and help him grow in that area spiritually? And I learned something really valuable that night. Number one, that dreams are an aspect of prophetic ministry. And that in the church, we have not valued them for a long time. And I learned that night, too, that where I was going to grow the most was by interpreting non-believers' dreams. And that what I had thought I had gone to streams for in terms of doing my own was a small, small mentality. I mean, it was a small, small piece of what God was doing in the larger scheme. And what he was doing was actually equipping me to be able to advance his kingdom. And that's why I do what I do. That's why I'm here tonight. I want to give you tools so that you can understand your own dreams because I believe God is speaking in dreams. But at the same time, the reason you're going to hear me tell outreach stories is because for too long, so much of what we learned in the area of the supernatural has stayed in here. And it's meant for out there. It's meant to color every aspect of our lives, everywhere that we go. And I want to encourage you, if you really want to grow in dream interpretation, ask God to start giving the people who you know around you that are not believers, by the way, I hope you have some, it's just an aside, because many of us don't, that's why I say that. And I had to grow in that. When I started coming to streams, I had no non-believing friends. And God started challenging me in that. So ask God to start giving you people around you who don't believe in him dreams, and you are going to be amazed at how quickly you grow in dream interpretation. So it's just a short snippet of how I got into dream interpretation. And then, how many times do you go into something, think you know what God is going to do, and then all of a sudden he just does way more than what you could ever imagine. And before you know it, that's what the last 7 years has been about. Tons of outreach, more so than I ever imagined in my life. Tons of equipping in dreams and visions, and I love doing that. But my greatest heart is to equip the church so that we would be able to take not just understanding dreams and visions, but everything that God has given us supernaturally and take it outside and take it and let it start impacting our neighborhoods and our communities and our schools and our stores and our, you know. Okay, so that was a long intro. Here's where we're going tonight. And also next week, we are going to do a biblical foundation for dreams and dream interpretation. For some of you, this will be review, especially for those of you who were here the Saturday night when I talked the first time. But the reason that I want to do that is this. I don't want to just start interpreting a whole bunch of dreams and not show you where in the scriptures this comes from. I wouldn't be doing my job as a teacher if I didn't do that. So for those of you for whom this is a review, bear with me. We'll get hopefully to some new application and new practical things. But I am going to do a biblical foundation just for dreams and dream interpretation. I would not give some keys to unlocking your dreams. And those will be that will get to the real practical sort of part of tonight. I'm not sure if I'm doing this tonight or next week, but either tonight or next week, I'm going to talk on the difference between biblical dream interpretation and secular dream interpretation. And the reason that I want to do it, why I want to do that is this. They are not the same. And for those of you who've had any kind of training in psychology, I want to ask you to ask God especially, help you hear the Holy Spirit in this, because we have had a ton of the only training, for the most part, that there's been both in the church and also in the secular world, have come from Jung, have come from Gestalt, and have also come from Freud. And if you take any of those dream interpretation methods and you try to interpret the dreams that we have in the Bible for which we have the interpretation, you will not get the same thing, which I can emphatically say says this: those methods are not biblical. Therefore, those methods cannot interpret a dream that comes from the Lord. And I can't tell you how many encounters I've had with people either in the New Age or people who just in the secular world who've had a dream interpreted in one of those methods, that then when they have a spiritual interpretation, meaning one that comes from the Holy Spirit, they literally are reduced to tears. And almost all the time, they cover their heart and they start patting their heart because something is impacting them on a deeper level than what they've ever experienced from that dream before. In every single instance that has happened. So I'm not sure if that's going to be tonight or next week. I'm also going to be giving the interpretation to the most frequent dreams that we see out there, because if you can interpret the top 10 dreams, you can have a conversation with almost any human being on the planet. And I can say that because I've been to Jamaica and England and Wales and Slovakia and a whole bunch of other places where they're the same. The most frequent dreams are the same. And the interpretation that we have, which is understanding, you know, the reason I can tell you the interpretation is because we're going to be teaching you about symbols and metaphors and how to interpret symbols and metaphors. And they are the same from person to person to person. And I've seen incredible testimonies as a result of them. That'll either be tonight or next week. For sure tonight, I'm going to do some live dream interpretation. We, of course, won't be able to get to everybody's, but we're going to be doing some live ones. If you want to be thinking about ones that you want to have interpreted for the illustration purposes, I'm going to be asking for short dreams, because tonight is a teaching context, and I want to be teaching from the dream interpretation. Next week, in addition to whatever I don't cover this week, we're going to do a fireside chat. I don't know how long, but what I find is what usually happens, or where a lot of the real deep questions and where a lot of the real deep teaching comes, is whenever I do a fireside chat and they come from your questions. And that leads to a whole bunch of teaching. So if you're coming next week, start thinking about some questions that you have about dreams or visions, and we'll do some of that. Also do live dream interpretation next week. Last point, if you know someone who is not going to be here, or what is not here this week and is going to be here next week, if you would encourage them to listen to tonight's teaching, that would be really helpful, because I don't want to repeat next week what I'm doing tonight, okay? All right, so let's start with the biblical foundation. All right. I want to start by saying this. For the most part in the church, we've lost our appreciation for the gift of dreams. For the most part. And I'm not saying that here at Grace Center. I'm saying in the church worldwide, we've lost an appreciation of dreams. And yet in the scriptures, dreams are incredibly significant to God. One third of our Bible is directly related to dreams and visions. So if you do not believe that God speaks in dreams and visions, you might as well throw out a third of this. That's the size of the New Testament. That's astounding to me. And yet, we have tons of Christians who do not believe that God speaks in dreams and visions. In fact, I think it's called the New International Bible Dictionary. In an edition of that book says this: to believe that God speaks in dreams and visions is at least delusional, in most cases psychotic at best. Wow. It's taught in our seminaries. Now, practically speaking, I can also tell you that the church has lost appreciation for dreams because of a few things that I've learned personally on outreaches. I cannot tell you the number of times when I have been out doing an outreach and someone finds out what it is that we're doing a Christian, and they come up and they start telling us that what we're doing is demonic. And even when we tell them that we're Christians, Because most of the time when we're in a New Age setting, we don't have a huge sign that says Christian dream interpretation, because most people won't come if we say that. You know, it just says dreams. So when they find out that we're believers, this just happened. I was in England. I do an outreach at the Mind, Body, Spirit Expo every year to about 20,000 New Age believers. Not believers are believers, as in believers in the New Age. 20,000 people. We've been there a couple years now. And I had a Christian who was also at the event with another booth, literally telling someone who was greeting, telling him that he was going to hell and that he needed to accept Jesus as his Savior because what we were doing was so demonic. Now, is that every Christian? No. But is that commonplace in terms of my experience with Christians? It is. Now, here's what's also sad. What's also sad to me is that when these people in the New Age find out that we're followers of Jesus, here's what they say. I didn't know Christians could hear from God. I didn't know Christians believed in dreams and visions. And here's what's really hurtful. I was raised in a Baptist home, or I was raised in an Episcopal home. I was raised in a Catholic home. I was raised in a fill in the denomination. Doesn't matter. And if I had known then that I could find this, I never would have started doing what I'm doing now. Because what they learned as young children, because they're gifted. New Agers, so many of them are so gifted. But what they learned as young children was that all that they saw in the spirit and all the dreams that they were having, they were taught that it was witchcraft, and they were taught that it was demonic, and they knew that they weren't crazy, they knew that they were seeing beautiful things, and so they went to a community that accepted them and loved them and believed that what they were receiving was spiritual. That is sad to me. Really sad to me. Now, let's bring it a little bit closer to home. The other reason that I know that dreams are not important in the church is because I can't tell you the countless number of times, and this goes for spirit-filled believers as well as non-spirit-filled believers. I can't tell you the number of times someone will tell me, God, I had this dream the other night. It was really weird. I'm thinking it's maybe because I ate something, or I'm thinking it's because I slept too long, or I'm thinking it's because I saw that billboard sign and that's why I must have had that dream. And without even understanding it, they're dismissing the dream. Do you see what I'm saying? They're looking for another reason as to why the dream came to them in the first place instead of seeking the Lord for an interpretation. Why? Because we get these dreams where there's an elephant in our bathtub and we're swimming in green water and there's these pink plastic tiger toys like going down the drain and the elephant is speaking in tongues to us. What the heck does that mean? Right? Because they're weird. Dreams are weird. Let's just get it out there. But let me just tell you, the dreams that come from God like that, that could be a God dream. I've learned in all this, God is sometimes weird. He's not interested in necessarily being put inside the boxes that you and I want to place him in. And he's not necessarily going to give us these beautiful dreams where we're floating in a garden and we see the cross at the end of the garden. And then we see an angel come and minister to us. And the angel says, you know what I'm saying? Those are lovely dreams. But somehow we get this idea that if it doesn't have absolute, total, biblical, Christian symbols, that somehow it's not a dream from God. And yet, when you look at Jesus, when Jesus was speaking in parables, what was he doing? He was using everyday objects. He was using the things that you're familiar with in life so that he could communicate spiritual principles. That's what dreams are. Dreams are God's night parables. And if you can get nothing else out of tonight, get that. Dreams are just God's night parables. And what he's doing is using symbols that are familiar to you so that you can get what the heck he's saying. Now, some of you are asking, well, if he's trying to tell me something, why isn't he clear? If he wants me to get it, why doesn't he just tell me? I'm seeking him. I'm asking him. He's clearly giving me this dream in response, and I have no idea what he's saying. And I can tell you it's because of this. Proverbs 25:2 says this. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the matter of kings to search out that matter. And I can also tell you this, because God is far more interested in pulling you into a deep place of intimacy with him than he is in just giving you an interpretation of a dream. And so many times, and not just with dreams, with visions, with other supernatural experiences, God is going to do weird stuff because he wants to get you to seek him for the answer. And what do the scriptures say? If you seek him, what? You will find him. Now, God, that doesn't mean that you're entitled to an interpretation. All interpretations belong to God. Therefore, God alone is the one who imparts those interpretations as he deems fit and as he wills. And I just want to present to you, I think some of what happens as we seek him for an interpretation is more important than the interpretation itself. Okay, so we have this dilemma because God's speaking in dreams and visions, but the church doesn't really necessarily appreciate all of them. And I want to encourage you, if you happen to be one of those Christians who's landed in the camp of, oh, it must be because of something I ate, or it must be because of what happened that day, or it must be because I was thinking about that, dialogue with the Lord about it. God knows all of your thoughts. He knows every single billboard that you saw on your way home. He knows when you were in the mall that you saw that one shop. And so what usually happens in your dream life, it's not because you saw it that day. It's because that symbol is being used to communicate something to you because you are familiar with that symbol. So if there's been doubt in that area, I want to encourage you to dialogue with the Lord about it, because doubt will keep you from receiving what God has for you in your dreams. Doubt keeps you from, that's just something we all got to deal with in all of life. But specifically in the area of your dreams, if you have doubt in those areas, it will keep your heart hardened to what God wants to communicate in your dream life. Okay, in the Old Testament, we have a number of examples where God used dreams and dream interpretation. I'm not going to give you all of them right now, but let me just talk about a couple. He used the interpretation of dreams to position Joseph and Daniel in favor with pagan kings. That one truth alone tells me that God really values dreams. Because if you look at the resulting history of what happened as a result of Daniel and Joseph having that favor, you realize that dreams are really important to God. Now, here's the other thing that I believe about this, is that God is going to use some of us to speak to people in important positions of power. And I'm excited about that, because we need to be influencers at the highest levels of government, at the highest levels of media, at the highest levels in Hollywood, at the highest levels of education, if you haven't heard Lance Wallnau's message on the seven mountains, get it. Enough said on that. But part of how we will do that is by seeking the Lord for his voice and being able to prophesy his purposes into people's lives who are in positions of power, or young people who are not in positions of power yet but who will be someday. And dream interpretation is definitely one of them. He did it then. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will do it today. All right, how about Gideon? So we all know this wonderful story about Gideon and the Midianites, right? But not many of us, when we hear that Bible story, not many of us hear this, that Gideon was discouraged, and he went to the camp to try to figure out what was going on, and he actually overhears someone talking about a dream. And as he overhears this dream, this is what happened. I'm just going to summarize it for right now. But this guy says that he saw a loaf of bread falling on the camp of the Midianites. And Gideon knew as a result of that dream that he was going to win the war. So he got the encouragement that he needed from that dream. Why do you think that dream meant what it meant? Does anybody know? It's about what Gideon did. Who was Gideon and how was he employed? Someone just said it. He's a thresher of grain. So God used the loaf of barley, because what does a thresher of grain do? He makes bread. So he used the loaf of barley to fall on the camp, and that's how Gideon knew. Gideon knew that it was him. Gideon knew that he was going to win. So God uses this incredible symbol. Gideon gets the encouragement that he needs from a dream to accomplish what he was called to accomplish. All right, New Testament. I'm just going to go through these really, really quickly. Matthew 1:20. Actually, if you go through the first couple chapters of Matthew, you're going to see a lot about the significance of dreams. But in Matthew 1:20, this is after Mary has been impregnated, right, by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph's freaking out because they haven't had sexual relations yet. And he's like, I got to go divorce her. And what happens? God actually speaks to Joseph in a dream. And he says, hey, listen, this thing that's going on with her, that's for me. Marry her. So, first dream, Matthew 2:12, the wise men do not go and report to Herod because of, as a result of a warning they received in a dream, because Herod was going to do what? Herod had sent them to scope out what was going on because he'd heard about this king, and if they had gone back, they would have essentially told him about Jesus, and so they received this warning in a dream not to go back and not to report to Herod. So they don't do that. So God is protecting the very life of Jesus in a warning through a dream. Matthew 2:13, Joseph gets further instruction, and the angel actually says, hey, go to Egypt. I want you to settle there. You're going to be safe there. There's this horrible thing. Well, he doesn't tell him all that's going to happen, but we know what happens, right? This horrible thing happens. Herod decides to kill all the babies under 2 years old, and so they're safe over in Egypt. Again, Jesus' life, his very life is protected through information and revelation that's given in a dream. Then Joseph gets another dream. In Matthew 2:19, in the dream it says this, go and settle in Israel. And in Matthew 22, it specifically tells him to settle in the area of Nazareth. Now, what's important about that? Why is Nazareth important? Because it fulfills scriptural promise about where the Messiah would come from. So, Jesus' life is protected through the warning of a dream. Warnings, multiple warnings through dreams, and then what happens? Fulfillment of scripture actually happens as a result of a dream. If dreams are not important to God, if God doesn't speak through dreams, why on earth would he hinge the very fulfillment of a messianic prophecy on a dream? That's huge. Now, at the end of Jesus' life, what's the other dream that's important? Do you remember? Jesus is standing before Pilate. He's about to get condemned. There's an important dream there. Do you remember? Pilate's wife. Pilate has a dream. And what does she say? Don't have anything to do with condemning Jesus. So we have dreams bookending Jesus' very life. Dreams are very important to God, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, I already said that a third of Scripture either indirectly or directly relates to a dream or a vision. And let me just give you this particular Scripture verse now. Job 33:14-17, very important when it comes to understanding dreams and visions and the importance of them. For God may speak in one way or another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream or in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering in their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction in order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man. So, couple of things. Number one, this tells us that what happens at night is not just a dream life. We actually can have visions at night. And there is a difference between the two. We can have dreams and visions. Number two, it says that he's going to open up our ears, the ears of our spirit, and speak instruction. Number three, he's going to seal that instruction, and it is going to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from us. So, how many of you have gone through incredible periods where you've dreamt a lot and then not dreamt at all for another period? Okay. I want to encourage you with this. Number one, science has proved we all dream. All of us dream. We would actually go crazy, they say, if we didn't dream. So we all dream. It's just a matter of whether you remember it or not. Now, there are a whole lot of reasons for not remembering your dreams. I'm going to give you some tips for how to remember. However, I will tell you this. There are times when God is going to conceal from you the very dream that he gave you. And he's going to do it for a purpose. It's because he's concealing pride from you. That's what the scripture says. He's sealing it away in order to turn you from your deed and conceal pride from you. So, if you don't know what he's saying, and yet he's sealing this instruction in you, and it is going to turn you from your deed, what does that say about your nightlife? That your mind may not conceive it, but what does? Your spirit. Your spirit is constantly aware, constantly receiving from the Holy Spirit, even if you do not remember the dream, or even if when you wake up from the dream, if your mind doesn't catch it. If you can't get the interpretation, your spirit doesn't receive it from the Holy Spirit. God has done something in the nighttime to prepare you for something that's going to eventually happen. And I want to encourage you, for those of you who've held on to dreams for years and years and years, and you're thinking, why would God give me this dream? I know it means something, and I don't understand what he's saying to me. I don't have the interpretation. Why does he do that? He does it because of this. There was an important reason in that moment in time when he gave you the dream that he imparted into your spirit that put something in motion, even if you didn't get it, that then all of a sudden helped you grow the way you needed to grow, prepare the way you needed to prepare, so that you could eventually step into your destiny. And I want to impart that faith to you right now, that there may be some things that you don't yet get. That doesn't mean the dream wasn't from God. That doesn't mean that it wasn't important. Hang on to it, because in his perfect timing, he will reveal what it was. And when he does, you are going to understand why it was he gave it to you in the first place when he gave it to you. I also want to encourage you, that's why it's so important to write down your dreams. Because most of the time we don't see the fulfillment of them right away. Most of the time we see them play out over time, and we can go back to them again and again and again for the encouragement we need, for the understanding that we need. We might catch something when we go back to read what it was that God had said that we didn't catch the first time. It's amazing how that happens. I just feel like the Lord wants me to highlight that for a minute. So I want to give you a quick story. I'd had a dream, and in this dream, I drove my car to the beach. And as I looked out, I was up high on a hill, and I looked out over the ocean. And as I looked out into the ocean, it was crystal clear blue. It was gorgeous. And in the middle of this ocean was a SeaWorld park. And I was like, that's weird. And as I'm looking at the SeaWorld park, I could see there were like 80,000 spectators in this. Not an exact number. That's just kind of what it felt like. And they were all waiting for something really important to happen. And I was waiting with them because I knew something really huge was going to happen. And all of a sudden, these huge, huge, huge blue whales came flying up out of the SeaWorld park, and they landed in a holding tank outside of the actual stadium. And as they landed in this holding tank, I heard a voice in the dream say, "The gates have not yet been released." It was an angelic voice that told me that. I wake up from the dream, I have not a clue what it's about. I had it 2 years before I had it interpreted. I go to the dreams class that I was mentioning earlier, and someone interpreted it for me there, and this is what he said. He said, something that you're going to do, some movement that you're going to be a part of, there's going to be two huge movements of God that have a huge impact, and you are going to see the world when you are a part of those two movements. It's a play on words. Did you get that?
Yeah.
SeaWorld Park, I'm going to see the world. Now, here's why I'm illustrating this dream tonight. Because I had that dream a couple years before it was interpreted. Fall of 2002, I get it interpreted. I don't really understand how it's going to play out. That was the first time that the Lord actually told me that I was going to have some sort of international kind of travel in terms of my destiny and things like that. And so I was like, okay, Lord, I'm up for it. That's great. But for 2 years, I'm stuck in a job that I hate in Denver. I'm in a telecommunications company, and it's a crack up because I actually was paid a whole lot of money to do a job that I really didn't understand. It's like the favor of the Lord, like you wouldn't believe. So I hate what I'm doing. And every time I would struggle, the Lord would say, this is where you're headed, Janine. You know, and that was one of the dreams, not the only thing, but that was one of the dreams that gave me hope. Now, a couple years later, fast forward to 2004, the Lord starts speaking to me in the start of 2004 about moving to Los Angeles. And I didn't really want to, just let me give you a little background. I had family that lived in Southern California. I would go visit them, and I would always say, love visiting you, never live here. I have learned not to say never. And I love Denver. And I mean, I'm from Colorado. I grew up in Colorado. I love Denver. I think it is God's greatest slice of heaven on the earth. I've been a lot of different places. You might think Tennessee is that. I'm just telling you, it's not. Go to Denver. But but when the Lord first started speaking to me about Los Angeles, nothing in me wanted to go. Now, the reason he was speaking to me was because there was a man by the name of Doug Addison, who some of you might be familiar with, who has a ministry called Enlight Connection. And he started talking to me about going to work for Doug. And so I'm like, okay, this is not really what I thought you had in mind for my life, but if it's you, I want to go. So I started searching the Lord, and I started praying about it, and I started told by pastors to pray, and I started having dreams, and a whole lot of stuff happened. Well, about 4 months into this, my heart is hard. I really don't want to go to Los Angeles. I'm thinking, Lord, can't I just, like, travel with him and his wife every now on the weekends? Like, I don't really, you know, I don't want to really move to Los Angeles, whatever. So one morning, I'm waking up, and I hear the Lord say to me, get your dream journal. And so I said, okay. So I got my dream journal, and he said, open it up. And I opened it up, and it landed right on that page of that dream that I just said to you. Now, here's what's amazing. This was now, what, almost 4 years later of having had the dream, something like that, 3 or 4 years later. I opened up the dream, and I literally almost fell out of bed because this is what it said. I drove my car to the beach in California. I had completely forgotten that very important detail. Completely forgotten it. It was like outside of my memory. I had remembered it only as, well, the beach must be important because that's where the water is, you know, and I was thinking it was just context, you know, that I was there because there was this big, huge ocean. And no, God was saying, yeah, 4 years ago when I gave you that dream, yeah, I was talking about this moment now. You need to go to California. It's very important to record the things that God gives us because we don't recall. We don't recall with perfect clarity all of those things. So, all right. So God will seal even sometimes those things away. And I wonder, too, I wonder if he sealed it away from me because I needed to not be concerned about California until that moment when I saw it again. Okay. So I just said that dreams, third of the scriptures are from dreams and visions. Here's another third. You sleep, on average, the human being sleeps about a third of our night, right? So that's about 8 hours a night, on average. Check this out. If you are 60 years old, you have slept 20 years of your life. Yeah, that's freaky, isn't it? If you do not believe that God speaks at night, if you do not value having dreams and having visions the way Job tells us that God speaks, you essentially have written off 20 years of possibly receiving revelation from the Lord.
Wow.
20 years. That's a lot of time. That is a lot of time. So the dream, our life at night is very important to the Lord. And by the way, a lot can happen at night, not just dreams and visions, but transportations. I know I've been taken from one place to another on the earth in the spirit to pray for people at night and to minister to people. That happens too. It's not just limited to visions. Okay, let's get back to scripture. What are some examples of the purpose and function of dreams in the scriptures? These are just a few, but I want to give you some that are common. Genesis 20, verse 3. God warns Abimelech not to sleep with Sarah. If you remember this passage, here's what's happened. Abraham has told Abimelech that it's okay, and he actually even says that it's his sister. And Abimelech hears from the Lord in a dream, don't you dare go sleep with that woman, she's another man's wife. So one purpose of scripture or one purpose of dreams in scripture to help people avoid sinning. To keep people from sinning. That's one reason why we have them in Scripture. Number two, to reveal his will. I just gave Matthew that first part where God is speaking to Joseph in a dream to Mary. He's saying, hey, listen, this thing that's happening to her, that's my will. So he will reveal his will in dreams. He also gives dreams to encourage people. That's the example of Gideon. He gave Gideon the encouragement that he needed in order to overcome the Midianites. In Genesis 37, Joseph has a dream about the prominence that he would have in his family. So we clearly see in Scripture that God is going to use dreams to reveal the future. Because it happened, didn't it? He has this dream, which, by the way, gets him in a whole load of trouble when he tells people one good reason for not telling everybody your dreams. Seriously. He reveals a future, though, because it does eventually happen. Lastly, to instruct. In Matthew, several times Joseph receives the instruction that he needs in order to safeguard the life of Jesus. Now, that's not the entire reason, all the reasons that God gives dreams, but those are some scriptural examples. So, if God wants to speak to us at night, why does he do it in such an irrational way? why is it so illogical? Why is it, you know, why is it when we wake up that it just seems to evade us what he's really talking about? And I said it earlier, but I'll say it again. Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the glory of kings to search that matter out. More than anything, God is concerned about drawing you and I into a deep and intimate relationship with him. More than anything. And so he will deliberately do things that cause us to search him out, to search him so that we will find him. Now, even though he does conceal himself in these ways, and even though he does speak enigmatically, meaning we don't have a clue what's going on, even though he speaks in these strange ways, he does not leave us without instruction in the word for how we can get there. And that's what I want to go to right now. All throughout the scriptures, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see God speaking in symbols and metaphors. All throughout the Old Testament, all throughout the New Testament. All we need to do to understand our dreams today is apply that same understanding, that same principle to our dream life, and we will start to understand more of our dreams. Okay, so let me just explain what I mean by that. When you think about God, and you think about him being the potter and we are the clay, what does that speak to you? Say it loud. He's going to mold us. What else? He's creative. What else? Pardon? I'm sorry. He's shaping us. Thank you. What else? He's in control. What else? That we need to be flexible. Why is that? Because if not, we'll get broken. And in fact, if any of you have ever thrown a pot, how many times does a potter actually throw a pot and the first time get it perfect? Almost never. When a potter makes a pot, usually what happens is the pot starts to form, and then all of a sudden there's a flaw. And so what does the potter do? Smashes it. So what does that say about God? What does it say about God? We know he's good, right? We know he's good, but what does it say about God? That he's going to break us in order to remake us. That he wants to make us into perfect vessels, so when he sees a flaw, he's going to break us in order to remake us. Now, there's a whole lot that you can get out of that symbolism, and I want to encourage you, when you start to see symbolism like that in the Old Testament or the New Testament, do exactly what we just said. Because usually what happens is we see a little snippet like that, and we think we understand it. And yet, if you start dialoguing with the Lord, okay, Lord, if you're the potter and I'm the clay, let me think about what it means. Even go to a potter's studio and see them throwing a pot and see what will happen as you look at that act and see what the Lord will speak to you. Because God is using word pictures. What's a common saying? A picture is worth what? It's worth a thousand words. And so what he's doing in using the picture language is trying to communicate something to you. Okay, how about the temple? I'm not going to do a whole teaching, don't worry, on the Old Testament and what, you know, the outer court and the inner court and the temple. But if you have done that study, and if you haven't, I would encourage you to do it, actually. It speaks a whole lot. A lot of people talk about the outer court being symbolic of the soul, the inner court, the outer court being part of our flesh, the inner court being part of our soul, and the place behind the temple being the place of the spirit. If you look at the outer court and you look at all the different symbols and what you had to do in order to approach God, it speaks about what we need to do in terms of cleansing ourselves. There are tons of prophetic pictures in that whole thing about who Jesus is. You know, when he says, I want to wash you with the water of the word, what's he saying? He's saying, you know that thing you had to do, all you Jewish people, you know that thing you had to do in order to get into the veiled place? I can do that now. I can give you water to cleanse you. I can give you water that will satisfy your thirst and everything that you need. There are tons of pictures in that whole thing. Now, what we don't get in Scripture sometimes, and what I think is so wonderful, is God uses puns. And for those of you who have actually studied Hebrew and have studied Greek, you would know this. Most of us have not. But here's one of them. In Jeremiah, I'm going to read it. It says in Jeremiah 1, verse 11 to 15, it says this. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Then the word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I see a boiling pot tilting away from the north, I answered. And the Lord said to me, from the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I'm about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms. Now let's go back to that first part, because there's an important pun here in the Hebrew that we don't see when we read it in English. So, let me read it again. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch or rod of an almond tree, I replied. And the Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. In the Hebrew, the word for rod is actually saqued, spelled S-A-Q-U-E-D. The word for watching to see is soqued, S-O-Q-U-E-D. God's giving a play on words. And so essentially what he's saying is, this saqued, this rod, this means I'm watching over you. He's speaking in symbolically. And we don't catch it because we get it in the English. That's why things like a SeaWorld park in a dream can mean you're going to see the world, because God speaks in puns. Now, if you look at the boiling pot, it says it's tilting away from the north. If you see a boiling pot that's tilting away from the north, it would mean probably disaster. I don't know about you, but I don't think I would want to be on the receiving end of a boiling pot. God is speaking in symbols again, all throughout the Old Testament. Now, we could go the whole night on stuff in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus does the same thing. Jesus uses parables to teach principles of the kingdom. He uses everyday objects, light, fish, water, trees, fruit. He's constantly using very simple things to communicate a message. And here's what he often says. This is really important. What he often says when he finishes a parable is this, that we must have eyes to see and ears to hear. And he says, he who has ears, let him hear. What he's saying is this. If you want to understand what I am saying to you, you need to have your spiritual ears opened. And that's probably the most important thing when it comes to dreams. We have to have our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears opened, because guess what? These things and this mind is not going to get it. We have to engage with the Holy Spirit, with our spirit, if we really want to understand what the Lord is speaking in our dreams and in our visions. I like to call it catching the language of the Spirit. If you can go through the Bible and you could understand the parables and you can go and understand some of these symbolic things, especially looking at the dreams and the visions for which we have the interpretation, you are going to start to catch this language and you're going to be able to apply it to your dream life. Okay. So we've got night parables. Dreams are night parables. Basically, it's just symbols and metaphors. I want to give you two scriptures about dream interpretation from the Old Testament. There are two ways I'd submit to you that God, and this, by the way, I just want to say, I know I said it earlier tonight, but I want to really honor John Paul Jackson, because that's who, not to say he's the only one that's teaching about dream interpretation, but he's really who has sown into me in terms of all this understanding. This comes, most of what I'm telling you tonight comes directly from his institute. But there are two ways that God gives interpretation to dreams, by revelation and by skill. Let me give you the two different scripture verses for that. And Genesis 40, verse 8, this is when Joseph is actually in prison, and he's in prison. There are two prisoners that say to him, we each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph says to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. He's basically saying, revelation comes from the Holy Spirit. Tell it to me. I believe God will tell. So we know that they come by revelation. However, what most people don't know is this. In Daniel 1, 17, this is leading up to Daniel 2, where Nebuchadnezzar has the dream and four men were given the time to figure it out and they couldn't. I remember Nebuchadnezzar says to him, hey, I want you to interpret this dream. And by the way, you need to tell me the dream. And if you don't tell me the dream and the interpretation, I'm going to kill you. Really bad day to be a dream interpreter. Really bad day to be a dream interpreter. But Daniel does it. But here's what it says leading up to that whole scenario. Daniel 1:17. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Understanding is not the same thing as revelation. still comes from the Holy Spirit. It still is a gift of the Holy Spirit. But to understand something usually means working it out with the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you, for those of you who have dreamt and who have your dreams, and maybe you don't naturally have a gift of interpreting, that doesn't mean that you can't grow in it. I've seen time and time again, either A, people who have never dreamt and all of a sudden started to dream just by paying attention and just by starting to study dream interpretation. And I've seen tons of people who thought they were really bad at dream interpretation start to just focus on the Lord and asking for dreams and asking to interpret, who become some of the most excellent interpreters I know. God can release to you understanding in His time. Okay, so we know that we have dreams, we know that we have dream interpretation in the Old Testament, and yet at the same time, I still hear people saying this, well, I don't see Jesus interpreting dreams. And Doug Addison, my former mentor and boss, his common response to that is this, I don't see Jesus passing out tracts. And yet we do it, right? And then he also says this, I don't see Jesus doing altar calls. There is a whole lot that we do in the church that Jesus doesn't do. And if we wanted to get rid of everything that Jesus didn't do, we would have church a totally different way.
Right.
Totally different way.
Right.
Now, that's not to say anything against altar calls. That's not to say anything against tracts. Although, if you take my evangelism training, I have a whole lot to say about that. But that's not tonight. But I will say this. Passing out tracts and doing altar calls does not violate scriptural principle. That's why we do them. Interpreting dreams does not violate the scriptures of, or the principles of scripture. We see God speaking in parables. We see God speaking in symbols and in metaphors. And we want to apply that same language, that same understanding to our dream life. It is totally biblical to interpret dreams. If God's going to give us dreams, if Job promises us that He's going to give us dreams, would He give us dreams and not give us some way to understand them? Of course He wants us to understand them. Okay. Now again, just to end on this, because we'll go there next week in further teaching. There is a difference. While at the same time, I believe that the scriptures make room for dream interpretation, I believe it's supported biblically, we also need to understand that interpreting dreams God's way is not interpreting dreams the world's way. And we cannot take what psychology teaches in terms of Jung or Freud or Gestalt. We cannot take any of those methods and get an accurate interpretation. Only the Holy Spirit will give that. And if you don't believe me, if you've had some of that training, I would encourage you, take Freud's method, take Jung's method, interpret the dreams in the Bible for which we have the interpretation and see what you get. You will not get the same thing that we get from the Lord. And that says only one thing, that doing it their way is not the same thing as doing it God's way. And I'll be doing a little bit more teaching on that next week. Let me just pause for a moment and just kind of ask the Lord about where to head next. Earlier tonight, I said something, I kind of skipped over it, and I want to revisit it. I said earlier that, you know, most Christians, we only really value those dreams that we believe come from God, those things that are really encouraging or prophetic or directional or instructive. We like those dreams. And we tend to dismiss the ones that are not from the Lord or that don't make us feel good. I want to tell you a dream that if you were here that one Saturday night when I taught before, you heard this one already. But this is a dream actually from a dream party that I did over in London. And if you're wondering what a dream party is, it's basically you have a cocktail party for an hour and then you talk about dreams afterwards in England. That's what it is. People might not here want to have a cocktail party in England. Let me tell you, everybody wants to have a cocktail party. So we would literally, I actually, if you can believe this, this is how great my job is. Someone hired me to fly me over to England to do a dream party. Isn't that great? And it was so awesome because these young women had a heart to reach out to young moms who were mothers of their kids' friends who are not interested in church at all but really hungry for spirituality. And they thought, you know what? If we bring Janine over, maybe we might be able to get some cool things in their dream life and get them to start opening up to talk about spirituality. So they flew me over there. went to do this dream party. This is a total aside, but it's coming to my mind to say it. First night I'm there, the husband of the man who, or of the woman, excuse me. Not that kind of church. The husband of the woman who had a heart to have me minister this way and flew me over there. We're sitting across each other from the table at dinner, and this is what he says to me. He looks at me and goes, "So, do you have a proper job?" Knowing that I do dream interpretation. And I looked back at him and with the best English accent I could muster, and I said, "Oh, I just muck about with dreams, really." So the dream party was fantastic. There were a lot of dreams that happened that night, and there were a lot that were just easy and lighthearted. But at one point in the night, the Lord really started showing up. In addition to dreams, I was prophesying over people, and you could feel the weight of the Holy Spirit in the room. And there were women who were crying because God had given them dreams and were healing them in very significant areas. And so we were in a really tender time, and this woman had a dream, and this was her dream. She said this. It was a very short dream. She said, "I had a dream that my husband, ex-husband, bit a piece of my face out. And when I woke up in the morning," although she was still in the dream, "when I woke up in the morning," I was still in the dream, "when I woke up in the morning," because she was having a dream that he had done this, she said, "I looked in the mirror and my face was completely disfigured and I could see the hole that he had left. And it was horrifying." And this is what I said to her, because that's a nightmare, right?
Yeah.
Whose will is that? Pretty much tell, right? Even if you know what it means, you know that's not a God dream, right? And here's what I said to her. I said, "This dream is about what happened to you by your ex-husband." I said, "In some way, he really hurt your identity. In fact, he wanted to steal it. And I want to encourage you, you are in the process of healing. And as you grow spiritually and as you come to a place of healing, you are going to reclaim the identity he tried to steal." Because I was prophesying over her God's plan. The enemy essentially gave her that dream and was trying to intimidate her. And whether she understood the dream or not, she was horrified by it. And what she at least knew was this, that something her husband had done was really destructive. And she had no hope whatsoever. And if you could have seen, I wish I could accurately and describe what her face was like when I prophesied over her God's plan. Because she started weeping and weeping and weeping, knowing that it was true and wanting it to be true, and actually now having hope in the very place where she was hopeless. That's prophetic ministry. And you can do that with your own dreams as well. When you have a dream that's a nightmare, or when you have a dream that you can just tell isn't from God, if you can understand what that dream is about and you can then get God's heart in it for you, you can actually do warfare through your dream life and through what God reveals to you through it. Nightmares are just the enemy's plan, and when you understand them, you've actually received powerful revelation that can change your life when you start applying what it is that God is revealing through them. So, I would encourage you, a better response to nightmares is not to ignore them. Not saying you want them, I don't want them, but when they happen, don't ignore them. When you have them, ask the Lord for understanding about the dreams, and then when you have that understanding, start prophesying his truth. Ask him to reveal it to you in your word, pray it over your life until it becomes what you believe. The elements that she's giving. Now I'm going to be, but just to kind of start, as a dreamer is giving a dream, what I'm asking the Holy Spirit to do is do first one thing. Holy Spirit, who is this dream about? That's what I'm asking for first. Because 99% of getting an accurate dream interpretation is figuring that out. And a lot of times what happens is we get a dream. In fact, most of us dream just about ourselves. But most of us, because we over-spiritualize things or because we're concerned about our church or whatever, we assume that our dreams are about someone else. So, first of all, you want to ask the Lord who the dream is about. Secondly, you want to ask the Holy Spirit to highlight to you important symbols. Anytime you have a dream, there's going to be important symbols and details. And I'm going to be showing you next week how to kind of get through that and figure out what's important. But the Holy Spirit can show you to break it down. And what you want to try to do when you have a dream is just get 3 to 5, just 3 to 5 important symbols, and then ask the Holy Spirit for the interpretation as you're going. Okay, so what's your name, please?
Judy.
Judy. Okay, so Judy, if you would tell us your dream, please.
In my dream, I woke up and walked out the bedroom door, and my husband was standing there holding the side of his face and looking down at the two cats sitting on the steps, and they were just sitting there crying. And he said the female cat and Delilah attacked him and scratched his face, and he was just like, and they were just sitting there crying. And then my son came around and was just looking what was going on, and that's how I woke up.
Okay, how long ago was this dream, Judy?
Night before last.
So this is your husband's dream?
Yes.
Okay. Another thing I want to encourage you is when you receive a dream or when you hear a dream, repeat it back to the dreamer for two reasons. Number one, you want to make sure that you heard it accurately. But number two, because often when you repeat it back, something's going to jump start inside their memory and they may remember more details. So this is what I heard. Okay? Already you're remembering something.
Right, and I did talk back to him immediately because it was so vivid clear, but they were sitting there crying. They wouldn't run off, and he said, he whacked them really good.
He whacked them?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so you wake up, you go outside the bedroom door, you see your husband crying over these two cats.
Well, he's holding his face. The cats are crying.
The cats are crying, he's holding his face.
Noise.
He's concerned for them, but one of them attacks him.
Well, I had attacked him and scratched him.
That's why he was holding his face. Okay,
right.
So the attack happened before he saw the cats in the dream.
I came out, he was holding his face, and he said the cats had scratched
him. Got it.
Him, and
okay.
He had whipped them.
Okay.
But they didn't run off. They were just sitting there crying.
Okay.
Weird.
Okay, and then your son came out.
And he just came up to the steps and looked to see what was going on, but I don't remember him saying anything.
And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I'm going to tell you the interpretation, and then I'll explain to you how I got the interpretation. This dream is about your husband, and this dream is about some sort of independent spirit that has been trying to attack your husband. Independent will, independent mind. But your husband has actually been successful in whatever warfare he's been doing to keep that at bay. The attack has happened because he actually received something, mm-hmm. but he also whacked the cats, right? And therefore, he's done something to keep this thing at bay. Now, why is a cat an independent spirit, do you think? Because that's what they are, right? They're one of the most independent-minded animals you can have as a pet, all right? So it's representing some sort of attack that's come against him. Now, we know that somehow this has impacted him, right? Now, if you want to get a little bit further in the detail, what do you think your face represents?
Your identity.
So in some way, the independent spirit has somehow hurt his identity, but he is in the process of doing the warfare that's needed to manage that and overcome it is really what I should say. So what I want to encourage you, application-wise, so that's the interpretation. Application-wise, when you have a dream like that, you pray, Lord, in what way is the spirit operating? And in what is your strategy for me overcoming it? I know the dream's already saying he's doing something, but you want to encourage him to get the fullness of God's strategy for this area of his life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Next dream.
It's been probably over a year that I've had this dream, and a small type dog bit me once on the left hand and 10 times on my right hand. There wasn't blood, but it was just a gaping wound left. But I thought, you know, if a dog bit you, it'd be a lot of blood everywhere. But that's it, and I just don't know what it means.
So you had a dog bite you on your left hand and also on your right hand, once on your left, 10 times on your right.
Yes.
Yeah? And that's all that happened in the dream. Okay, and what's your name?
Janet.
Okay. This was a year ago that you had the dream?
Pretty much a year.
Okay. There's been a significant wounding that you've experienced from someone who's close to you, a friend of some sort, or through friendships you've been wounded. And what that wounding has done, it's come partly in the area of you of your identity and of your destiny. But it's also come really in a way that's attacked your faith and in some area. And that has, it's been a difficult journey as a result of that. But I want to encourage you that that the Lord, whatever happened in that, whatever the attack was, it was not the Lord's plan. It was not the Lord's will for you. And in the very area where you've been most wounded, He is going to bring such significant healing that it'll be through relationships where you will actually have some of the most incredible experiences you've yet had in the Lord.
It's all forgiven too.
Good.
I hope.
Good.
I think so.
And that's a key to part of it. Okay. Now, you okay?
Yep.
Okay. Lord, I just ask that you continue to finish that work. Lord, Lord, I thank you that it's never your intention that we are wounded in these places. But Lord, I thank you that you're a relational God. And I thank you that it's not only in relationship with you, but it's also in relationship with others that we become healed. And so I just free my sister, Lord, to experience that in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the work of forgiveness that you've worked into her heart. And Lord, I ask that you continue to do that in any other way that it's needed, Lord, if it is. And Father, I ask, God, that everything that the enemy has stolen, that you would return tenfold. And I prophesy over your life that that will happen. And I also prophesy that everything that the enemy meant for evil, God will use for good. You will have an understanding of relating to people that you would not have had you not experienced this. And you are going to have an incredible ability to minister to people who've been betrayed. And the very thing where you've been hurt and wounded is the very area of your life where you're going to see God take back the enemy's territory, and you're going to stomp on his head.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for coming.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Now, I want to just say one, just to highlight something. When you have a dream like that, it is important, whether it's a believer or a non-believer, it's important that you give the interpretation and what the dream means. But if I only gave, is it Janet, is that right? If I only gave Janet that interpretation and I didn't prophesy over her at the end, she would have re-experienced the wounding and would have been stuck there in a place of hopelessness. And it's very important. It's very important to make this point. Dreams are an aspect of prophetic ministry. And when we prophesy, what are we asking the Lord to do through us? To encourage, edify, and to exhort. So comfort, build up, strengthen. So you want to make sure that when someone is giving you a dream, you don't want to tell them it means the opposite of what it means, because that's a lie. You want to tell them what the dream means, but don't let them stay stuck there. Prophesy what God's purposes are over them, because that's the power of prophetic ministry. What you just saw is what we have the ability to do in dreams. Okay, clear your name, please.
Lynn.
Lynn.
This dream took place about 13 years ago.
Okay.
And our son had passed away. And
can everyone hear her? Yeah, I don't think so. Can you pull that up closer? Thank you. I'm sorry.
Our son had passed away, and it was kind of like where he appeared to me in the dream, but then he disappeared, but I found myself in this house, and everything in the house was huge. It was almost like the Jolly Green Giant, you know, a little pea type of thing. And I remember this overstuffed chair. It was huge, and I climbed up in the chair, and there was a woman sitting next to me in this chair, and all of a sudden the chair started to move, and it was like on tracks, and it was going really fast, and it was like we thought we were going to go over an edge type of thing, but as it came to the end, it stopped abruptly, and it was like looking down into an orchestra pit, and Jack Nicholson was standing there, and he looked at me, and it was just like matter of fact, and he just said to me, he goes, "You need to leave if the spirit is going to move."
Wow.
And it kind of like, just like, I felt so guilty. I felt it was though I was doing something to stop the spirit.
Oh, okay. All right, so I'm going to repeat the dream back to you. Tell me your name again. It's Lynn. Is that right? Okay, so Lynn, in this dream, your son appears to you in the dream, but then he goes away. But you kind of follow where he came from. Is that right? Okay, and when you go there, you enter a house. It's a very large house. Everything feels very giant in proportion and everything else. And you see an overstuffed chair, and in this overstuffed chair is a woman, and you sit down with this
next to her
in the chair. And then you, in this, all of a sudden the chair is on tracks, and it starts
it's kind of moving
really fast. And as it moves really fast, you come to an edge where you're overlooking an orchestra pit, and Jack Nicholson is there, and Jack Nicholson says to you, "You need to leave because the spirit has stopped moving."
In order for the spirit to move.
In order, you need to leave in order for the spirit to move. Okay, let me ask you just a couple of clarifying questions. The woman who you sat with in the chair, did you know her?
No.
Okay, was she faceless? Meaning, did you? Was there anything that you noticed
she
about her?
She had a face, but I
you couldn't see it.
Nothing.
And what did you feel sitting next to her?
I felt safe.
You felt safe.
Comfortable.
Okay. All right. Here's why I'm asking that question, because there people can mean different things in dreams. They can mean themselves. They can mean what their name means. They can be representative of whatever position they hold in life or what or character traits. Sometimes faceless people, when they are positive elements in your dream, you felt safe, means that you've got angelic help sitting next to you. Same thing is true when you've got faceless people and you're not feeling so good. That usually represents the demonic being present, okay? So, this dream sounds like a color dream to me, is it?
There was color.
There was color, yeah. Okay, I'm asking that because sometimes that can be help you understand sort of what God's communicating through those symbols. Lastly, meaning that if there's a lot of color, dreams tend to be more positive. If there's a lack of color, they seem to be more negative. Lastly, when you woke up, or excuse me, in the dream, were you feeling badly that you had done something in the dream, or was that when you woke up?
When I woke up.
It was when you woke up, you received the warning, and you were concerned, I'm doing something wrong.
Right.
Okay. All right. So, help me, Lord, to communicate this well. Okay. This is a sensitive question, and I hope that it's okay for me to ask this. Your son, is he with the Lord?
Yes.
He's with the Lord. Okay. I thought that he was, but I didn't want to assume that either. Okay. So I'm not entirely sure why your son was there, but what I do know is this. Sometimes the Lord allows people who've gone on before us to minister to us in our sleep the positive messages of some sort, because if they come, we're more apt to hear what the Lord has for us in it. So there are a lot of things that tells me that this is a good dream, even though you were confused by it when you woke up. That's one of them. Because when he showed up, you followed where he came from, and where is he right now? He's in heaven, which means you're entering into a heavenly place in the dream. Okay, so I believe that this is what the dream is about, that the Lord wanted you to know and partly used your son to help show you that your destiny in the Lord is far greater than you could ever imagine it for yourself. The house that he has for you, the call that he has on your life destiny is far larger than anything that you could ever imagine. And he's got angelic help with you to be in a place of comfort so that you can rest in it, receiving it from him, not feeling like you got to make it happen. And as you rest in him, that's going to propel you forward into the destiny that you have. And when that happens, what often is going to take place, and that's why I think this message from Jack is really important, there will be times when you need to leave where you currently are in order to go where the Spirit is going, and that's okay. And I want to encourage you that the reason you probably had it 13 years ago is because there probably was a significant transition that the Lord was preparing you for, even if you didn't know it, that gave you the okay in the spirit, even if you didn't get it in your mind, that it was all right to leave where you needed to leave in order to go where God was going. You're welcome. These are great dreams. I would love to interpret dreams for a lot of you, but I really believe that God wants to do some impartation tonight, and so I want to move into that. We will be doing more dreams next week. We'll be doing some boarding some dreams where I'll be diagramming them out so that you can learn from that. Yes.
Can you quickly just draw the connection that
Oh, yeah. Thank you. She just asked if I would quickly draw the connections from the dream. Can I hand this to you, Jeff, please? Okay, so in the dream, she's got her son, right, which I kind of already explained. He's coming from a heavenly place, which kind of gears us towards, you know, a heavenly sort of dream. Houses in your dreams often represent your life destiny, your ministry, or your church. Why? Because we call this the house of God. That's why it can sometimes be your church. But also, it's your life destiny because that's where you live out your life. Then, if you remember, she's in this thing, and so I told her what it was bigger than what she believed that it was. Why? Why do you think I said that? Because that's what she was saying, that it was like for a jolly green giant. Everything was big. Everything was huge. And so that was telling her it's bigger than what she actually conceives of for herself. Then she's in an overstuffed chair. I already explained where I got the angelic help from. But an overstuffed chair, when you're sitting in an overstuffed chair, what does that usually feel like? You're in a place of rest and comfort. So she's resting. There's this big, big, huge destiny. But is she having to make it happen? No. When she rests with this angelic help, what ends up happening? She gets propelled forward into her destiny, and she actually receives a heavenly message. Now, when she woke up, probably what she was thinking, she was feeling condemnation of some sort, was just the enemy wanting to bring that to you. But what Jack Nicholson was actually saying was important, you know? Now, anybody know what the name Jack means? I don't know what Jack means. I'm going to find that out for you, and I'll tell you next week. Because usually what happens is if there is... And what does John mean? Beloved of God. And that was her son's name. That's cool. Now, I would also venture to say, Jack Nicholson, what else do you think of when you think of Jack Nicholson? In a positive way, because he's a positive symbol in this dream. He's strong. What else is he? He's funny. Exactly. He's funny. And so I would have to say that God's sense of humor and God's the fun that you're going to have as you go about your destiny is going to be unparalleled. You know? Okay. Yes. Oh, she said, I'm asking about the second dream. I didn't explain the second dream about the dog bite. Thank you. That was such a tender moment. It's hard for me to sometimes kind of transfer back into teaching mode. Dogs tend to be man's best friend or companions in our life because in our culture, that's what they are. And so she had a bite on her left hand and 10 bites on her right hand. Many people in the prophetic say because the left side of your body is closer connected to your heart, which it's not on the left side, but it's a little bit imbalanced towards your left, that means that that things that happen to the left side of your body have to do with what you're born to do. Things that happen with your right side of the body, if there's attack, have to do with your faith. And so she was attacked a little bit in her identity, right? There was one bite, but there were 10. And so there was something very strong in terms of the attack that came against her faith. And also 10 in the scriptures is the number for journey and sometimes wilderness. And so that's why I was telling her in that process, it has been a difficult journey coming out of that place. Okay? Thank you for telling me, for reminding me to do that. Yes. Yes.
What if you had a dream about like a
hotel? Hotels usually have to do with transition because you don't stay in them all the time. You only go in and out of them. Okay, so I'd like to transition to impartation, and I'm gonna start with a confession. Okay. For years now, I've been teaching this stuff for 7 years, and I always, whether it's the streams class or it's a setting like this, I always pray at the end for God to impart from me to whoever wants to receive it this understanding of dreams and visions, and that, you know, God will just take people further. And, you know, a lot of times I've been praying a lot for acceleration so that what took me 7 years to grow into would be like 7 weeks or 7 months or whatever. I just pray whatever God inspires me with at the time. So I always pray that, right? Okay, so I'm in Slovakia a few weeks ago, And I'd done a whole weekend on prophetic evangelism. We'd not gone to dream interpretation even though we wanted to. And so because we hadn't gone to dream interpretation, we're doing this dream party on Sunday night, and I had not done a single whit of dream interpretation training. So we get to this party, and I'd already done the impartation, right? So the morning of the Sunday service that I did, and also at the prophetic evangelism training, even though I hadn't taught on it, I asked the Lord to impart understanding of dreams and visions, because I know that's some of what I carry, and I believe that the Lord wants to impart it. So, Sunday night, we're at this dream party. We've got about 40 people there, and normally the way that we do a dream party is we'll hang out for a little bit, then all of a sudden we'll just start talking about dreams. People will ask their dream, you know, for dream interpretation, and we'll just start interpreting. Whoever is there to interpret will interpret the dreams for them. So we're sitting down at dinner, and I hear, and I'm talking about what we want to do for the evening, and one of the church leaders says this: "Well, why don't you do this, Janine? Why don't you just teach for, like, maybe, I don't know, 8 to 10 minutes on dreams, and then we'll have everybody interpret dreams at their table. And then after they interpret the dreams, they'll come up, and they'll give you the dream, and they'll tell you the interpretation that they got, and then you can help them see what they got right and what they got wrong." And this is a church leader, okay? So I'm thinking, inside my head, I'm thinking, that's the worst idea I've ever heard. And on my face, I'm smiling and I'm nodding, because this is a church leader who's suggesting this. And then she runs it by another church leader, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, that's the best idea. Janine, let's do it." And I'm thinking to myself, you want me to teach in 8 to 10 minutes how to interpret dreams and then let them loose? And I'm imagining the worst, okay? Because I'm thinking they're going to get it wrong, and I'm going to have to, you know, how am I going to do all this correction? And I'm freaking out. So, but I honor what the leaders asked me to do. I do, you know, snippet of what I'm going to do next week. Just snippet, 8 to 10 minutes. And then we turn them loose, and I'm praying and I'm asking for every unemployed angel in heaven to come into the room, to come into the room and help these people interpret these dreams. I learned something really important that night. They came up one by one. For the most part, they had an accurate dream interpretation. If not the full thing, they had it at least mostly. There was only one that was pretty epic in length that would have been hard for someone who's been doing it for years that they couldn't get. But we did about 10 dreams, and they had the dream, they gave the interpretation, and literally they didn't have the fullest interpretation they could have got, but they basically got what it was. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, how does this happen? And the Lord tells me, "You imparted to them." And I was thinking to myself, oh yeah, I did. And I realized something that night, that even though I can't tell you how, I mean, I've literally prayed for thousands of people for this impartation, and I did not have really the faith to believe that it would really happen. I would impart it, but I sort of thought, I'm going to impart it, and then you're going to have to do a lot of work in order for it to work, you know? And I have great faith now that this can happen instantaneously, that the Lord can give you revelation, and I feel like I've been corrected in this area. There is something about stirring up the gifts in people that's really important to God. There's something important when you have something to lay hands on other people and to ask for it to be stirred up and to ask for it to be imparted. So I'm believing tonight in faith that as I lay hands on you, whether you feel something or not, that God is going to do that. So, anybody who wants to be prayed for, I will pray. Yes?
Seconds, 5 seconds.
Yes, yes, yes.
Last time she did this, there was a release of dreams, like in the body. Like, I heard from dreams. I know in our household, we started dreaming more. And so, so don't take any of this lightly. And I believe that whatever you value, the Lord will give you more of. So he says it. He says, be careful how you hear, because whoever has, more will be given to him. And what he's talking about there is whatever you value, more will be given to you. And so if you value this, so just in my life, the whole thing about journaling dreams, I've been really bad at that. So tonight I was like, I have got to go out from here and get a dream journal and begin to journal this, because whatever you value, the Lord will give you more.
Yeah.
Okay?